today we are going to be talking from the power of the cross. On the count of three, I want everybody to say the power of the cross. Here we go. One, two, three. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 18th verse, is going to be our foundational text, because we have communion today and I want us to understand why we do what we do. And so the writer teaches us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are lost. It says, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we have to understand that the cross isn't just a symbol we wear around our neck. It isn't even just a story we tell, but it is actually the foundation of our faith. It is the demonstration of God's love, and it is ultimately the source of our victory in life. And so as we took communion today, we remembered what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We remembered the suffering that he did for us. But not only do we remember the suffering that he did for us, we also remember what Jesus secured for us on the cross. On the cross, Jesus secured forgiveness. Jesus secured healing, Jesus secured peace, Jesus secured authority, and ultimately he secured eternal life for every believer. And so, contrary to popular belief, the blood still works, amen? And so the blood still works, and the blood has not lost its power. And so today I want to share with you, how many in the room, I know you already know, how many points I got for you? You already know, Pastor's got three simple points to help you understand the power of the cross. So as I'm taking that wafer and as I'm taking that juice, I'm not just doing it out of ritual. I'm not just doing it because it's first Sunday. Because truth be told, you can do it on second Sunday, third Sunday. You don't even have to be here. You can do it at the house. You understand? When you do it and understand it from the right way, I'm partaking and remembering what Jesus has done for me. And so let's jump right into it. Y'all said y'all were going to be a good class. That means that y'all going to talk strong when I ask you to say stuff, all right? So be ready and be listening. Here we go. Everybody say point number one. Okay, good class. The cross reveals God's unconditional love. The cross reveals God's unconditional love. And let me just stop before I go any further and help you understand something. God cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. And if we're not careful, sometimes, especially if we make mistakes or we mess up, we start talking like, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry, and I need to deepen my relationship with you, and I need to repent. And we do probably need to deepen our relationship, and we probably do need to repent, but we'll say stuff like, you know, so God can love me more. No. God's love for you is undeniable, and it's indescribable, and he cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. As a matter of fact, I like to say, if God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture will be on it. That's how much God loves you. He loves you so much that in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, it says he demonstrated. Another word for demonstrate is that he proved. So God demonstrated, or he proved his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners or still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. So I love it because God didn't wait for us to get ourselves together. He went ahead and put a plan in place to redeem mankind back to him. Of course, we know what happened with Adam. Adam was in the garden. Life was good. You understand? You know, Adam and Eve. And then, you know, they sinned. They messed up. And it separated a man from God. And so what happens is God's love for us was so strong that he wanted a plan to redeem us back to him. Now, how many in the room know heaven is real? All right. How many know hell is real? Right? But I like to tell people that hell is not a place that you go to because God's mad at you. All right. Don't listen to people who talk like that. Hell is a place you go to pay for your own sins. But my thing is, why would you pay for your own sins when God has already sent his own son, Jesus, who has already died, who has already shed his blood for you? And all you have to do is repent and receive him into your heart and live for him, and eternal life belongs to you. I don't know about you, but when I understand that, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want everybody to go to heaven. Does that make sense? Amen. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. Praise the Lord. And so the cross is proof that God loves us at our worst. You got it. And it shows us, and it really silences every question about his commitment to us. Because sometimes the enemy will try to put shame on you. Sometimes the enemy will try to put guilt on you and do all these things. Well, because you did this and because you did that. No, and that's why, you know, even as a believer, if I'm already saved, 1 John 1:9 was written to the believer that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. Now, understand the word repentance means a change of mind and a change of direction. So when I go to God and say, I'm sorry for doing this, it means that I have changed my mind, but I need to follow through and begin to change my direction. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you have to understand the importance of it. We were in membership 101 a few minutes ago, and I was talking to all of our new members, and I was telling them God is not looking for perfection, but he is looking for progress. And I think that's the thing we have to understand, that day by day and week by week and month by month, I'm getting better. My relationship with God is getting deeper. I'm getting more wisdom and more understanding. And the more, the whole thing about revelation is when I know better, I do better. So don't beat yourself up. Don't try to compare yourself to somebody else, because Paul teaches us that when we compare ourselves one to another, we are unwise. So you have to learn how to march to the beat of your own drum. You got it? I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm just working my own soul salvation out with fear and trembling. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I can see I'm on my way. Does that make sense? Amen. You know, when we look at biblical examples, just think about Jesus is on the cross, and there's a guy on one side and there's a guy on the other. There's one guy and he was real, just really doubting. And then there's a guy on the other side. He realizes like, no, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And so he looks over to Jesus and he says, hey, remember me, right? And Jesus says, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. And sometimes it is hard for people to wrap their heads around, something like this. And it really shows the unconditional love of God, that this guy had no record of good works. He had no chance to make the things that he'd done wrong right. But Jesus extends his mercy and promises him paradise in that moment, and it just shows the extent of God's love towards you and towards I. And so don't ever let anyone talk you out of God's love. Don't ever make anyone make you think God's mad at you and God's angry with you. Don't listen to people who talk like that. I feel like Jesus, you don't know scripture nor the power of God. God doesn't hate people. Yes, he hates sin, but he doesn't hate people. And God has the ability to separate. Watch that. So even if a person messes up, falls short, makes a mistake, yes, he doesn't like the sin, but he still loves the person. And watch this, and he's already has a covenant, a clause in his covenant, that even if I, on the road to doing right, I mess up, watch this, if I just repent, he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And watch this, if nothing shows the power of God and the love of God, that I can one moment be wrong and in the next moment repent, and when he looks at me, he doesn't see me, but he sees the blood of Jesus, it answers everything for me as it relates to my relationship with God. Does that make sense? Amen. So now you're like, when you begin to understand this point that the cross reveals God's unconditional love, you see now, if you're in the room and you think you're perfect and you ain't got no issue with it, this point ain't for you. But for all of us who have messed up, who have made mistakes, who have fell short of the glory of God, we are thankful for the love of God that is undeniable and that is indescribable, because the truth be told, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there is no telling where we would be. Amen. And so we have to understand that. Now, y'all know, I don't know why lately I've been giving you confessions after points. Now, that could stop this week, but I got them this week, praise the Lord. So I want everyone to repeat after me. Why are you so big on confessions? Because you're going to have what you say. So you got to watch what you say. You got to stop walking around talking about, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. You got it. And just all these cliche stuff that don't make, I call you, hey, what's going on? I can't call it, Pastor. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got it. And so repeat after me. Say, God's love for me, is settled forever at the cross. I am loved, forgiven, and accepted. Nothing can separate me from his love. I am forever anchored in God's love. Now, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand praise right there. Amen. All right. So here we go with a strong voice. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, the cross gave us victory and authority. The cross gave us victory and authority. And you have to understand that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, all right? He redeemed, that word redeemed can be translated as rescued. That word also redeemed has the connotations that something was paid for us, all right? And so he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to bring against you. You've got to know that if you belong to Jesus, right? The writer says, ye are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the book of Luke, he says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of darkness. He says, and nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. What am I trying to get you to understand? That because of what Jesus has already done for you on Calvary, there's an authority that you walk in. And what happens is when something tries to show up in your life that is not like God, you can't accept that because it's not your portion, right? But what you have to do is you have to open your mouth and take authority over whatever it is that's trying to come and attack you. Let's just use something that's big in this culture. And I'm not knocking anybody when I say it's big in this culture. So if you've ever said this, don't get mad at Pastor. I'm just trying to teach you. Deal? Deal? Okay, so people love to go around saying, my anxiety. No. Listen, anxiety does not belong to you. It is not your portion. Jesus on the cross of Calvary, when he said it was finished, it was finished. It included your salvation. It included your sin. It included your sickness. It included your anxiety. It included depression. It included everything that was not like God. So I'm not saying you may not feel like that spirit of anxiety is on you, which I'm glad I brought that up, because you have to understand anxiety is just a spirit. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what you have to do is you have to open your mouth and speak against that spirit of anxiety and say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that anxiety doesn't belong to me. It is not my portion. You are my portion. So I curse anxiety in the name of Jesus. I curse fear in the name of Jesus. I thank you. You have not given me a spirit of fear or an anxiety, but you have given me love and power and of a sound mind. So in the name of Jesus, and you just start declaring how you need to move. You understand? That when I walk into that classroom, Father, I thank you, no stress, no strain, and no struggle. When I say no stress, no strain, and no struggle, I'm pushing against anxiety. When I walk into that job, I thank you, no stress, no strain, and no struggle, because I'm pushing against fear, against anxiety, and everything that's not like God, because it is not your portion. And you've got to know who you are and whose you are, so the moment something tries to jump on you, you can declare the word of God and walk in your God-given authority. Does that make sense? Amen. That's a good place to clap. Yeah, because, you know, the enemy will, you know, he'll give you one thing after the other at my stress levels. You got it? You know, people, now listen at how negative this sounds. Whew, y'all. Boy, it's already been a bad day. I don't even know what I'm going to do. That's two negative things right there. It's a bad day. I don't know what I'm going to do. And my stress levels, 3, because you just claimed it, are about to kill me, 4. You ain't read that much scripture that morning to go against all them. Come on, somebody. I mean, praise the Lord for the devotion, but if you read devotion, you done canceled all that out. So what we got to do is start watching what we say, because death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. If you love life, which I know you do, you got to start speaking life and not allow the enemy to keep creeping in, letting you know that, you know, well, your anxiety, no, all that stuff is gone. I thank you, Father, I am who God says I am. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. When I start declaring those things, I'm declaring the word of the Lord. And if I keep saying what the word of God says and keep saying what the word of God says, I'm going to see the word of God show up in my life. Does that make sense? And then I'm not knocking you. Don't get upset with Pastor, but if I don't teach you, who's going to teach you? Does that make sense? And so when I know better, everybody say, I do better. So in Galatians 3 and 13, it shows that he's given us authority because, watch this, he took all the authority away from the enemy, and the enemy is powerless in our lives. The only power the enemy has is power that you may give him, so don't give him any, right? Okay, here we go, Galatians 3 and 13. Y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, we're doing good. Christ has rescued, or remember that word, is also redeemed, us from the curse of the law, pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, watch what happened, class. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. So Jesus didn't do anything. But he knew that the sin penalty had to be paid, so he paid the sin penalty so that you and I, watch this, can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and have direct access to the Father, all right? So the cross broke the curse of sin, sickness, and spiritual death. So everything that came through Adam, what came through Adam? Shame, guilt, fear, lack, it was all reversed through Jesus. Colossians 2 and 14, I'm going to try not to get excited. I want to get excited, but I'm trying not to get excited. He says that second word, I'm going to want y'all to say that second word. I'm going to tell you in advance. This is an open book test, praise the Lord, all right? The Bible says in Colossians 2 and 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us. Do you know what it is to cancel something? That's like somebody loaned you some money. And you owe them some money, and you know when I get paid, I need to give them that $100 back. And then all of a sudden they call you or text you and say, hey, you know what? It's just on my heart, to let you, just keep that money, right? Well, immediately when you read that text, got it, or you get that call, watch this, the debt has already been canceled. Now what you owe, you don't owe anything. See, there were some things you and I owed, but because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, Jesus canceled them. He said he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So you got to understand this. Okay. The cross was heaven's victory parade. All right. Because a lot of times, I know in one sense it seemed like it was a sad day. You got to understand the reason the Father wasn't sad is because he knows once this thing goes through, there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of it. That is why the writer said for Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So the cross was heaven's victory parade. So every demonic power was stripped of its authority against you and me. So Jesus didn't die a victim, he died a conqueror. So when he said, it is finished, that wasn't defeat, that was a declaration. That everybody, all humanity, watch this, now it is finished. Their salvation, their healing, their deliverance, their authority, you got it? Their provision or prosperity, everything now belongs to them, all right? So, amen. If you want to clap, now clap. But don't patty cake. Give me a good clap. So David defeating Goliath foreshadowed Jesus' victory over sin and Satan because David ran toward the enemy in faith and not fear, right? So what did Jesus do? Jesus faced the cross for the joy that set before him in faith and not in fear. All right, y'all ready for the next confession? All right, everybody repeat after me. Say it strong now. Say, because of the cross, I've been redeemed from every curse and set free. I walk in authority, victory, and dominion over the enemy. Now say, nothing by any means can hurt me. I am fully and freely forgiven. Now, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand praise. All right, here we go. Everybody say point number three. My last and final point, the cross restored our relationship and access to God. Hebrews 10 and 19, Paul is writing, and I'm only going to give you verse 19, but he's writing about the goodness of God and what Jesus has done for us and all these things. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. What gave us confidence? The blood of Jesus, what Jesus had already done. So Jesus, you got it, because of what Jesus has done, the Bible says that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, giving us direct access to the Father. Let me explain that to you. So there was a time where the priest would have to go through, you got it, on the behalf of the people. And there was a big thing that the priest would have to do, and he would have to, you know, he would have to set himself aside. You know, there were so many things. Even before he goes into the through that curtain to the most holy place, he looks down, and there's this laver. A laver is a big water pot, so he can look down and see the reflection that he's a mere man about to enter into the most holy. And then they have a rope that's tied around him that in case he ain't right and he falls dead in the most holy, you know, in the presence of God, they would have to pull him out. But he would have to go on behalf of the people. So in my brain, even though I wasn't there, I got to hope this joker's right. You got it? Because I need him to go on behalf of God for me. But God said, I'm going to fix that forever. The veil is now rent from the top to the bottom, and it gives everybody who has accepted Jesus into their heart direct access to the Father. And so now there's no more barriers or no more separation. Through Jesus, you and I now have direct access to the Father. Does that make sense? So Galatians 4 and 4. Oh, I love Galatians 4 and 4. You know, so now we're talking about access. Let's switch it to relationships. You got to know who you are. You got it. You are, ladies, you are a daughter of the King. You got it. Brothers, you are a son of the Most High God. You have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got it. All right. Galatians 4 and 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son born of a woman subject to the law. All right. So not only did Jesus come as the son of God, but remember, he came as the son of man, which gave him the right to walk in that earthly authority. All right. And then it says God sent him to to do what? Say it again. Sounds like redeeming us, right? To buy freedom from us who were slaves to what? Okay, right? But we already know he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isn't that what we just read? So that he could do what, class? He could adopt us as his what? Very own children. Now, you got to understand that God, let's keep reading. And verse 6 says, and because we are his children, wait, so now God sent him to redeem us or to buy freedom. We were slaves, but now we're not slaves. We were prisoners to sin, but we're no longer prisoners to sin. But now we were been adopted. But do you notice that the Bible says we're his very own children? Do you know it didn't say in there anything in there saying that we are his stepchildren? He says that we are his very own children. Verse 6, and because we are his children, didn't say step, did it? God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba Father. No longer are you slaves, but you are now God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. And I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to mess with how you live your life and how you do things. But see, the way I come up, I ain't have no step brothers and sisters. We was all just brothers and sisters. Come on, somebody. There ain't no stepdaughters and stepsons. You got, when you get over into this family, it don't matter who biological, how you got here. Now you part of the family, and we're going to take care of you like we took care of everybody else. Can I go a little further? As for me, there ain't no thing, he ain't mine because when I got married, you know, she came, he already had. None of that matters anymore, because now when you step over into this family, everybody's on the same page. And watch this. I don't care if it's biological, you know, happened this way. Everybody has the same benefits. Come on, somebody. Everybody gets the same love. Everybody gets the same acceptance, because I'm not going around talking to my friends. Be like, who that? Oh, that's my old lady's kid. How you think they gonna feel? Come on, talk back to me. It don't work like that. No, now that you watch this, since me and mama got together, come on, somebody. That now, yeah, I had one, but now I got two. I don't got, well, this one mine and this one her. No, no, it's all together now, because I'm not going to let the enemy try to make that kid feel inferior because they weren't quote unquote biological. No, when you come over to this side, there ain't no step this and step that. We all equal and God gonna bless us all. Does that make sense? I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, and if you say that and you didn't mean it, that's fine. But just from now on, move on from that, because now they're yours. I don't care how you got here. Come on, somebody. And we're going to love you the same way and take care of you the same way, and you're going to get the same benefit. So if I had two, if you had two and you got married and now you got two more, but you had savings accounts for those two, you might as well go ahead on down to the Navy Fed and get two more saving accounts. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I ain't got that much. I put $100 in for each of them, $200. You got, well, you're going to have to break that down to 50, 50, 50, and 50, because there ain't no step. Everybody is now. And it's the same way with Christ. I don't care what you do, and I'm not trying to tell you to go out and sin. I learned you ain't got to tell people to go out and sin. They're going to do that anyways, right? So I'm not trying to tell you to go do anything crazy. But what I'm saying is, no matter what you do, if you mess up and come back, God doesn't look at you any different. You were always his child, and you will forever be his child. That's a good place to clap right there. All right, let's go home, Court. Y'all ready? All right, y'all ready? Repeat after me. I have bold access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. Now say, I am no longer distant. I am family. Because of the cross, I am forgiven. I am free. I am favored. And I'm fearless. Well, I think we ought to say that again. Yeah, say, I am forgiven. I am free. I am favored. And I'm fearless. The Bible says nothing by any means shall be able to stop you. So weapons may form, they ain't gonna prosper. You might bend, you ain't gonna break. You belong to Jesus. And see, when you belong to Jesus, opinions don't matter. Because, you know, you do know somebody's gonna have an opinion about you. Don't sweat opinions. Don't worry about opinions. Just know who you are. See, this has always been my thing. As long as I know I'm giving God my best, I don't worry about nobody else. Because, see, this whole thing really is between me and Jesus. And as long as my heart is right with him, people can say what they want. But as long as you keep your heart right with God, he will help you. He will remind you. He'll correct you when you need correcting. He'll bless you. He'll keep you. And he'll keep showing you how to put one step in front of the other, in front of the other, until you get to the point and say, man, look what God has done in my life. And so what I want you to do, I just want you to hold on to your faith. Don't give up and don't throw in the towel. Disconnect yourself from toxic relationships that are not good for you. Disconnect yourself from toxic environments that are not good for you. Why are you pushing that, Pastor? Because I know what it takes to win in life. And you can't win in life around toxic people all the time. Because birds of a feather, you become like who you spend time with. It's the principle of dominant influence. That one good person around 10 people that are toxic, they're probably going to influence you before you influence them. And so learn to hang around people of like precious faith. Husband and wives, make a pact today that everything before today, we letting it go. I was mad at you for this, and you were mad at me for this, and we ain't been working together as a team. I want you to let it. You better listen to me, because I tell you, I know what I'm talking about right now. Because I ain't been talking about marriage, but this is just the Lord. He says, make a decision to forgive each other right now. And watch this, and go ahead and do it right now. And when you go get to the car, don't say, well, since Pastor told me, I forgive you for doing this. But you still shouldn't have done it. Sorry, Joker. Don't do that. Because then you're going to start it right back up. You got it? Then he's going to say, I knew you wasn't listening to him no ways. No way, yeah. And here come the deal. Can you believe she said that about you? Can you believe she said? Who does she think? Tell her who does she think? And he'd be like, who do you think you are? And the devil gets to say, oh, no, he didn't. No, that Joker didn't. All that stuff you've been doing for him, you got what you better do it with his lazy behind. You understand what I'm saying? Christian cuss word, amen? And then you say it, and then you go round and round, and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. And the enemy knew, as long as I can keep them, watch this, in disunity, As long as I can keep strife and envy and turmoil between them, they won't make anything happen. But what I want you to know is if you're married, there's a grace that is on your life. If you don't know it, you're about to find out now. There's a favor that is on your life. And now you come together, you forgive. Now, there might be some things you need to work out. Maybe you need to go to counseling. I'm not saying just let everything go. If there's some healing that needs to take place, go through it. But if you'll start working together as a team and keep Jesus at the center, you'll become an unstoppable force. Nothing will be able to stop you, and nothing will be able to slow you down. And so start working together as a team and watch what God does. Let forgiveness run its course. Let grace run its course and watch what God does. Heads about, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads about and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you just got to simply believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you. Kind of like what I just talked about this whole lesson. And if you'll believe that, and you'll repent of your sins, and ask him to come into your life, and make him the Lord of your life, everything will start to get better. Because I'm here to tell you that Jesus changes everything. I'm going to tell you one more time. Jesus changes everything. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. We're going to pray the same prayer. Maybe you're a Christian in the room and you need to repent about something. We're going to pray the same prayer. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask everyone in this room and online to repeat this prayer after me. Because the truth be told, this is a prayer we can all pray together as a family. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, I thank you for what you've done in the lives of the believers. And I thank you for every marriage that's in this room and online. And I curse every satanic assignment from the enemy that keeps going after those marriages. It seems like you do good for a little while, then it blows up. And then you fix that, and then you do good for a little while, and it blows up. But I declare in the name of Jesus that the winds of change are blowing in your direction. Now, like I said, you might need to get some help. You might need to get some counseling. You might need to make some of your own changes. Y'all might need to start communicating more, and you haven't been communicating. But if you need help, get help. If you're a member of this church, if you're a faithful member of this church, then we're here to help you. But get the help you need, because you can live a supernatural life in the midst of so many other couples in the world that are just having it hard and having it rough. You can live a supernatural life. Look at me. Lady and I, we really live a supernatural life. And I don't say that to, you know, be the man. It's just the truth. We live, this year we'll be married how long? 27 years, right? Thank you, Pat. All right, 27 years. She's trying to be funny. But I'm being serious right now. From the moment we got together, we were already learning faith. We were already givers. We were already tithers. You got it? And when we got together, we didn't let anything in our relationship. You got it? We didn't let people in our relationship. And we lived God's way. Jeremiah 5 and 25. You need to listen to me. It says that your sins withhold good things from you. It's not that God doesn't love you. But we think it's okay. We can smoke the herb. God still loves me. Yeah, he loves you, but your sin is withholding good things from you. You got it? I can be married, but, you know, fool around on the side. Well, you can, but you're not going to live a good life. Because you'll always take one step forward and two steps back. And a lot of times people look at Lady and I and they wonder, how in the world do they live that life? And I don't care about all the crazy folks. It's because they got that big church. Boy, I was way rich before I ever started this church. I started this church when I was 30. I made my first million when I was 25. So I don't listen to people. We didn't come to New Bern to get something. We came to give. Does that make sense? But the Lord told me last week, he said, son, it's not that I don't love my people. He says, but what happens is when they sin, it ties my hands. And he says, if I can ever get them to believe my word to the degree that they make the commitment that they're going to break away from them sins and start walking and living for me, he said, it unties my hands and calls me to pour favor and increase on their lives in ways that they can't imagine. And I'm telling you, it ain't that we just so smart. You got a good business mind. No. It's the hand of God on our lives because we made a commitment. You got it. That we've been married for 27 years and we don't do none of it. Now, all of it ain't heaven and hell stuff, but we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't cuss. She don't mess around she don't cheat on me, I don't cheat on her. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing in our relationship. Watch this now. That God has to grieve over because sin grieves God. But because there's nothing in our relationship that grieves God, every time we get together and hold hands and say, okay, babe, this is what we're going to do. This is our faith project. We're believing for this. I say, okay, you be confessing this. She said, okay. She said, you be believing for that. And man, we start walking that thing out and we see God. But now we're consistent. We give 15% of our income to Jesus, plus a whole bunch to a whole other people. You got it? And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to paint a picture of the life we live. Because sometimes people, they look at us like, you know, like we superstar. No, we ain't superstar. We regular people like everybody else. We came up like everybody else, but we chose to do it God's way. And because of that, we got God results. Y'all stand up all over the building. Amen. 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 I just want to charge you to get sin out of the house. And no, I don't know nothing. Nobody called me. Nobody texted me. You ain't got to go ask. Did you tell Pastor? I don't know anything. But what I do know is if we'll start doing things God's way, we'll get God results. And when you give that 10% and you got that 90 left, it's still your responsibility to handle it properly, to do things the right way. You got it. And so make sure you're doing everything so that you can always come to God and say, Father, I'm giving you your word. And I'm giving it to you with a pure heart. And I'm doing it your way. And so because I'm doing it your way, I want your results in my life. And when you do that, watch God do amazing things. Are y'all glad y'all came to church at 11 o'clock in the morning?